Well, good morning again, everybody. Dave Nemo with you as we continue. Don't forget Chris and Meredith go freewheeling in the next hour on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171, and the Sirius XM iPhone app. And as promised, we're going to go to Sarasota, Florida now, and Sharon Donito is with us, the moving wall historian. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Dave.
Great to have you with us on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a real honor. I haven't really surprised when you called and asked to hear more about the moving wall.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was talking to our listeners earlier this morning about the fact that I've had the honor of visiting the wall in Washington, D.C. and a couple of years ago, and it's a very moving experience. And we wanted to talk about I guess it's moving walls now, because as we understand it, there are two of the replicas that move around the country.
Well, actually, in Washington, of course, we used to also refer that to as the original or the stationary wall.
Mm-hmm.
But John Devitt, back in 1982, when he went to Washington and saw the dedication of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and if you note, it's not the war memorial, it is actually the Veterans Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
He was so inspired, he knew he had to take this around. So since 1984, John has been personally taking his replica around the country, and we just celebrated in July our 25th anniversary.
Yes.
Now, John has two replicas of his own. We used to have three, but one is now in Kansas at a university. But there are other memorials, their copies, but they came into existence from the beginning of 1996 after they saw the success of John's replica going around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have another escort that takes the A wall. That's how we divide the schedule up. And John and Joy Devitt drive the C wall around the country. And they do about 25 sites a year.
Mm-hmm. I believe the next stop for the A wall is Garnet, Kansas, and then for the C wall is, East Liverpool, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct, mm-hmm. Yes. They both look like they have about eight more stops, finishing off on this at the same time, November 5th through the 9th, one in Winchester, Illinois, and the other in Owensburg, Kentucky. And then the wall will go back to White Pine, Michigan, where our warehouse is, and the wall is then maintained, updated, panels redone or created because the other ones got so damaged. And they do that during the entire winter, preparing it for when they go back out in April.
What are John's walls made of? What are the materials?
It's like an airplane aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be made out of heavy metal and wood frames. And you can imagine the bear it was to lift each one of those and carry it. He's had a couple of different versions, but this seems to be the best, where the frame is a light metal as well as the fronting of the panel. And, of course, it's all silk-screened. That gives it that embossed feeling so that you can do a rubbing against the wall. And the panels are set up with brackets in the back that fit also in a track. So it's now become very high-tech, whereas when it first started out, it was just putting a couple of panels up and trying to hammer them to the ground.
Yeah, understood. Let's go back to your beginnings with the wall. And, of course, you have a website called touchthewall.org that we encourage folks to go visit. But give us a little bit of your own history.
Well, my main concern is that people really remember the veterans on the wall, the memorial. They are always the most foremost in my heart and my mind. I usually try and stay out of the background because it really isn't about what I do. It's about what I can show the visitors that come to pay their respects. I started out a long time ago in college found there was an Air Force base nearby, went to the USO, found out about Vietnam. I was very naive back in the 60s, and it just took on from there. I just became involved with the veterans as they were coming home, and with the most recent involvement, I did live in D.C., and I volunteered at the original, the Stationary Wall, for years. And then when I retired and moved to Florida, I came aboard with John, not as a moving wall participant in the inner circle type, you know, group, but I just went to volunteer, and I had a lot of information, and it just seemed that each year I gained more information, and I started sharing it with people, putting up billboards at the wall, of course, within a respectable distance, to teach people about Vietnam, and not the war, the battle, but the veterans who actually went, explaining what a Medal of Honor recipient is, or explaining what the dog handlers did, talking about the veterans in their hometowns, and I developed databases, and it just sort of escalated. And then I realized no one was taking care of my generation, so I thought, well, here's something that I can do. I can pay back to my generation and speak for them. So I created the website so people could find out. And I also was a little concerned about all the rumors that went around about the veterans, and there had to be a place where someone stood up and said, that's not true. You know, that information is incorrect. Mm-hmm. So I've incorporated a lot of those objectives also on my website. And when I work at the wall, I try to make sure the people leave there with an honest, healthy, honorable respect for the veterans instead of a lot of misinformation.
The MIA POWs, the guys that are still out there someplace, they play a major role, I believe, in the moving wall scenario, do they not?
Yeah, usually in a couple of respects. A lot of sponsors who bring the moving wall to their city for 5 days, John believes it really should be your memorial for that period of time. And they do opening or closing ceremonies centered around the POW MIA, the missing man table ceremony, or they will recognize the MIAs that may be still missing from their state. Also the fact all of the MIAs are on the moving wall. And we are down now to 1,737. I believe, still unaccounted for. So when I'm at a wall, I make sure those names are published so that people, I encourage people to still get the old Viva bracelets that people can wear and honor a family by keeping their memory alive on a bracelet. There's a lot of things that can be done, but usually at a ceremony, they may have someone parachute into the ceremony for an effect who is carrying a POW flag. Sometimes there is an escort. We've had to cut back on the escorts a little bit because of the danger with so many motorcycles, but of course they carry the POW MIA flag. It just doesn't stand for those missing. It stands for all of our veterans who have endured a really rough time, either in the past or currently.
Sharon DeNito is with us. And Sharon, I just want to read this very quickly because I want to kind of circle around to something that you mentioned earlier. It's the preamble of the Veterans Memorial. It says, in honor of the men and women of the Armed Forces of the United States who served in the Vietnam War, the names of those who gave their lives and of those who remain missing are inscribed in the order they were taken from us. I want to kind of circle back to something that you kind of opened with. This is not a Vietnam War memorial, either the moving walls or the stationary wall in Washington. It's about the men and women. Is that something that you continually have to kind of explain to folks as you go from place to place, as the wall has gone from place to place over the last 20 years?
Yes. I'm not really sure why. I guess living in Washington, the place is filled with memorials that were dedicated to the end of wars and, you know, conflicts and things of that sort. This was going to be the only memorial ever dedicated to the veterans with their names inscribed directly to them and honored for them, and nothing to do with the Vietnam conflict at all. It was the first time veterans' names were put on a memorial in that, you know, grand capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get the moving wall to a city, and it's just maybe a natural slip, they'll just say the Vietnam War Memorial because Vietnam War just closed. And we always try to politely correct them that we are not celebrating war. We are honoring and celebrating veterans' lives. And you can actually go up to the memorial and place a hand on a veteran, and you can feel his life. You know, it's his name, it's his life, it's his family. And we want more of a connection with that kind of overall perspective than looking at all of the negativity that came throughout that entire period.
Mm-hmm. The whole moving wall movement, if you will, not to make a pun here, but the whole idea over the last 25 years now has centered around volunteers like yourself and others. Is obviously that's a good thing. Does the military, the U.S. military have any official capacity here in terms of the moving walls?
No, at least not with John Devitt and the moving wall.
Mm-hmm.
The moving wall, of course, came about because of it being such a moving experience, and we transported it. So in 1985 is when, I believe her name was Mickey Vissard, had said, this has to be called the moving wall. It has I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I understand.
It
really speaks to people. It's a person to person, a visceral.
Personal
experience.
The people that come to volunteer do it for so many reasons. I do it because I know, after all these years, I know probably 58,229 veterans on the wall. I don't like when people come up and they'll just say, oh, he's there. Well, he has a name, you know. I want to show people that if a family member is standing behind you, you never know. So respect is one of the foremost things that you can show this memorial. When we get volunteers, they really come for, like I said, their own personal reasons. I've been doing it on my own. I am not subsidized by anything. We try and keep the military completely out of it. They can use it ceremonies. When they have an opening and closing ceremony, they use a lot of military. But John has kept our involvement from corporations, military, large lobbyist groups, anything, out of the moving wall. It is for the people, by the people, and volunteered by the people.
It takes a lot of volunteers at every town that the wall comes to, and it takes months of planning. What are some of the things that folks might not realize have to go on behind the scenes before a date is set? Or before, you know, the wall, say in Garnet, Kansas, what are some of the things that folks might not necessarily understand has to be done? I think you have to have a platform built. There's a lot of physical things that go on there, huh?
Right. Well, a lot of people don't realize when they want the moving wall, they think we travel around and just stop places and set up. You really have to make an application request because the route has to be developed so that we don't waste a lot of gas and time getting to one place to another. And so an application can be sitting there for a year to 3 years before the time frame that you requested could be fulfilled. Are incredible as far as things that they have to do, everything from preparing for lighting, preparing for an area to set up in, per area to have the track set up. It has to be now done because of the type of wall that we have. It has to be set up, surveyed correctly. You have to worry about maintaining the grounds, roadsides, flagpoles, benches for people to sit at, restrooms, cots for volunteers to sit at, wheelchairs. You have to have some sort of communications. You have to have tents, information tables. John always prepares the people with two directories. That comes with the package when you're getting the wall. But he also has a handbook that what you do with the artifacts left at the wall, how you could go about putting out brochures and programs, what to do in inclement weather, having food and coffee or water for your volunteers, what your volunteers need to be trained to do. You just can't send somebody out to the wall and just look up names. There needs to be an understanding of how the wall is put together, how to find things in the directory. It takes almost an entire community to put a wall together. A few people just cannot do it. It can be very grand or it can be very small. I've been in places where they had one table, four volunteers, and, you know, it runs. But it all depends on what you really want to incorporate into your five-day setup.
What about the age group of the folks who come out to volunteer? I know you're going to say it spans, you know, generations, but do you find a growing or a waning interest in the younger people who, say, weren't even alive in the 60s?
Well, I was in a wall in Orlando 1 year where a lieutenant colonel, he was in his late 80s, came out every morning before it got too hot and walked the wall and looked up names and talked to people. He was incredible. I've also had young kids. Of course, they find the computers fascinating if they can look up names. They get very into it there. With the boards that I set up when I go to a memorial, it provides masses of information. And my reason for doing it is not only when you do come to pay your respects at the wall, maybe you would stop by one of the billboards that I've put information on, maybe about the eight women that are on the memorial, and read about them. I want their curiosity to be stimulated. And if I can get them to stay 10 minutes at those boards and come away learning one thing, it may be the initiation to look a little further into more information. Kids are very excited about statistics, so I always like to get a group together and give them different statistics about the oldest, the youngest, you know, how many first lieutenants versus how many E3s were actually killed in Vietnam, and that stimulates their attention. The ones that are middle of the age span, they just kind of want to come there and pay their respects, or they want a memory jar. They may come over and look at a map, trying to remember, you know, where they really were because they hadn't seen a map in a long time. Or they might want to connect with a reunion group. They have more of an internal, personal desire to come and pay their respects. But volunteers are needed in every age group. And we try to use them as much as possible. And some get so excited the first day, they want to come back a second day. It really does become a part of you. And people that leave after 5 days, we take down, they say, you know, I never knew it could change my life so much. I never knew it would have such an impact on me. I thought only the wall in D.C. could be the emotional one. I didn't realize But if you think about it, taking the memorial into your own personal city and having it there 24/5 days, and being able to see it at any time of the day, stop by after work, stop by on the way to the grocery store, pay a couple of seconds, it gives your city such pride to have it there, but it also brings the community together because they start looking at their Vietnam veterans or their other veterans and saying, what can we do to make it better? This is really emotional. I didn't think I could have this in me for that.
Wow, understood. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us and continued success and Godspeed in your efforts.
Oh, well, thank you. And it was really kind of you to include the moving wall in your broadcast. And if anyone does want more information, they can either contact me or they can go through the movingwall.org website. Either one of us would be able to answer all your questions.
Thanks again, Sharon.
Thank you, Dave.